We're going back to sharing about engaging God. Essentially, for those who've not been here before, we've been working through an interactive manual with God, being able to engage with Him. So we're on a journey or an adventure to discover how to engage God in the spiritual realms, because He's a spirit, to discover those spiritual realms within us, around us, and the heavenly realms that we can engage in. There are two pathways that we're following in this: pathway of relationship, that leads to a deeper intimacy with God that flows inside us from heaven through the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body to the world around us. But also there's a pathway of responsibility where God has called us to operate in rulership, and that means we engage in heaven and we bring heaven's rule to earth through our lives. We've done journey preparation and we've done base camp, in which it's all about our spirit and building our spirit so that we can engage and see and hear God's voice, engage in the different spiritual realms. That means we can engage in our spirit, soul, and body, and in the angelic realm around us, and also in the realms of heaven. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And those spirit, body, and soul have senses, and those senses are what enable us to engage with God, the world around us, and ourselves. And the key that we're looking at in this module really is about our spirit and the fact that when we become born again, God's spirit, God himself, dwells in us, and there's a realm of the kingdom with his glory, his presence inside us. And the way in which we engage in God's presence is through the first love gate. And we're looking at this whole module as first love. I was going to do one session on this, and God wouldn't let me go personally. When I ever opened my first love gate, he kept me there for several months, just engaging with him in deeper intimacy, because he wanted me to experience more of what God's love is, and to be able to share and pass that on. So this is really the most important module of everything that we'll do, because this is the starting point of our relationship of intimacy with God. We've looked at the house of God and what it is to be a house of God. And today we're going to look at first love. And in the future, we'll look at the river of life, the yoke of Jesus, and the seat of government in us. So as the house of God, we saw that we're a dwelling, that God dwells in us. We're also a mountain, a place of authority, and a gateway where heaven can come through our lives, around our lives. But today we're going to start on what is first love. And this is one of the most important things that you'll ever get hold of. If you can experience first love and you can give first love, it will change everything. Our spirit has God's spirit and his presence within us. And in Revelation 3:20, it talks about that being a gateway, a door that he wants to open. And in John 4, it talks about living water flowing. So the river of life flows from that doorway of first love when we open it. And the presence of God in his glory also engages our spirit when we open that first love door. So it's wonderful to have God in us, but we need to relate to him. We need to experience him. And not just experience him, but have all our spirit flowing so that the river of life can flow out of our spirit to our soul, through our body, into the world around us. Because we're supposed to demonstrate the kingdom and God's love to people, not just have God's love on the inside of us. So why first love? What is first love? Why is first love so important? Essentially, our eternal destiny and the destination in which we're going to end up is at stake on the basis of our experiencing and knowing first love. Not just as a word, but as an actual personal revelatory experience in our lives. First love, Revelation 2:4, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And Jesus was there speaking to the Ephesians church, who were doing so many things for him. There was a whole list of all the things that they were doing for God, and yet the most important thing was first love, and they had left it. So they had abandoned the love they once had for God. That love was no longer their priority. Duty became the focus rather than relationship. They had love, but maybe they were not in love, And I've heard many people say that. Well, I love, but I'm not in love. As if there was a difference, or as if there should be a difference. Now, I wonder if you can remember how your first love felt. Now, it's one of those things, for looking around the room, it's probably a long time ago for most of us. Sorry. But it probably is. But can you remember what it felt, those first things of love, the emotions, the passion, the overwhelming desire, being smitten, our mind captivated, thinking of the next glimpse or meeting with that person? Now, I can actually remember that. You might think that's surprising, but I can. And problem is, it's like, was our salvation experience with God an encounter with first love? Did we feel those things when we first met God? Because if we didn't, then we'd missed out. Probably because of the nature of our personal relationships, which mess things up. Here are some descriptions of what it is to have that first love. Besotted with, infatuated with, enamored of, love struck by, smitten with, passionate about, with a passion for, consumed with desire for, captivated by, enthralled by, entranced by, devoted to, doting on, mad, crazy, nuts, wild, potty about, bowled over by, carrying a torch for, I like this one, twitterpated by. You get that one in Bambi. You remember the story of Bambi? What happened in springtime? They were twitterpated by first love. So first love, why first? What does it mean to be first? What does first mean in this context? Coming before all others in time or order. Paramount, top, topmost, utmost, uppermost, prime, chief, leading, main, major. Those are all words which describe first. Is that how we feel in our relationship with God? Foremost, principal, highest, greatest, preeminent, overriding, outstanding, supreme, premier, predominant, prevailing, most important, of greatest importance, prime importance, vital, key, essential, crucial, central, core, focal, pivotal, dominant, ruling, head. First is God's love first in our lives. The love of God first. Because if it isn't, then it's not first love. So that means first before everything else. Me, my family, my relationships, my work, my leisure, my needs. God's love has to come first before all those things. Why? Because when it does, all those things work. When it doesn't, those things don't work. Before worry, concern, anxiety, fear, depression, despair. Some of the things that we feel without God's love being first in our lives. If the first love priority of my life is Him, God, everything else must look like hate in comparison. That's what the Bible says in Luke 14:26. Now that's a strong thing to say. But of course it doesn't mean that we hate people, because that's the opposite of love. It means that in comparison to my love of God, everything else is so small that it looks like that. Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all of his own possessions. Everything that we have, all that we are, needs to be surrendered to first love. If we're going to fully experience who it is that God is and how we experience Him. So what is love? What do we mean by love? What do we mean when we use the word love? What do we think and feel when we hear the word love? Because that might be really positive, it might be really negative, depending on our experiences. The answer to those questions will have been influenced and affected by our personal experiences. The things we've experienced about love in our own lives will be reflected on how we experience God's love in our lives, has an effect. 1 John 4:16, we have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. How did they come to know that? Because they met Jesus personally. This is John, the disciple who had his head on Jesus' chest in intimacy, describing that he had come to know God's love. And he had seen Jesus on the cross giving his life for him. And now he knew that, not just by words, but by personal experience. And he believed because he had experienced it. It says, God is love. The very nature of God is love. Now, for some people, that's why they struggle with a relationship with God, because they struggle with love. But God is love. The one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. Therefore, our understanding of what love means and the word love is really, really important if we're going to embrace and experience it in God. Now, this is probably the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And the world there is not just the planet or the people in it, it's the whole of the created order. That he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So God loved and God gave. And he gave the most precious thing, himself, because of love. Love is one word in the English language with many different meanings. Love has many words in other languages to differentiate its meaning. And that's our problem. We use love for many things. I love you. I love ice cream. Has the same English word, but has a totally different meaning. Well, I hope it does. Because if I love you like I love ice cream, it won't have a very high priority in my life. But we still use the same English word. Now, there are many Hebrew words for love. Ahab, spontaneous, impulsive love. Hesed, deliberate choice of affection and kindness. Another word for covenant love, the love that's formed in a covenant relationship. Raham, to have compassion, brotherly love. Now we know there are many Greek words for love. Eros, erotic love, is one that's used mostly today in context of love. But actually it's not found in the New Testament at all. But there are three others. Philia, storge, and agape. Philia, love, means to have a special interest in someone or something, frequently with focus on close association, have affection for, like, consider someone a friend. It refers to a strong liking or a strong friendship. We love things that we strongly like. I love ice cream, I love my car, I love the way your hair looks. I'm sure husbands always say that to their wives. Especially after they've just had it cut or colored. Greek word, storge. The love and affection that naturally occurs between parents and children, can exist between siblings, and exist between husbands and wives in a good marriage. Totally different word. Romans 12:10 put those two words together in a compound word, philia storgos, encouraging us to be loving and kind to each other. That's an expression of those two meanings of the word love. But the Greek word, agape, is seldom used in Greek literature because of the very nature of it, and it was thought that actually people couldn't express this type of love. Agape refers to the love of God, one of the kinds of love we are actually to have for God and for people. You can have agape love for your enemies, but you cannot have philia love for them. Agape is the very nature of God, for God is love. Agape love is known from the action it prompts. Agape love because of what it does, not how it feels. So agape is a love which doesn't just come from our emotional things, which may move us to do certain things, but not others. Love, this is because of a choice. Agape love is not simply an impulse, generated from feelings. Agape love is an exercise of the will, a deliberate choice to love, which is what God did to us when we were his enemies, when we were apart from him. He sent Jesus to die for us when we were apart from him. This is why God can command us to love our enemies, because it's not love that we can generate through emotions or feelings, but love which comes out of our relationship with God. He's not commanding us to have a good feeling for our enemies, but to act in a loving way towards them. Agape love is related to obedience and commitment, and not necessarily from feelings or emotions, although it can have those associated with it. Loving someone is to obey God on another's behalf, seeking his or her long-term blessing and profit. There are many biblical references to agape love, and I'm not going to express them all, but there are loads of them. Love your enemies, love God, God love the world, new commandment, love one another, the love which you love me may be in them, which was Jesus' prayer, the love of God poured out within our hearts. Love is the fulfillment of the law. The greatest of these is love. Love of Christ controls us. Faith working through love, fruit of the Spirit is love. Everyone who loves is born of God. Many expressions of that word. Only God can express his character of love first. If God did not express his love first by creating us in the first place and by sending Jesus to bring us back into a love relationship, there could be no expression of agape love. But because God has demonstrated it and we can experience it and it can be filling our lives, then we can also express it. Love is not a virtue, a value, an ideal, or a moral principle. Love is not a feeling, sentiment, impulse, or passion. Love is not romance, benevolence, or amicability. Love is not a psychological predisposition or genetically produced social habit, which is what some people say it is. Love is expressed only as derived from God. Love is the spiritual character of God experienced and expressed in a Christian's life. We have to receive love if we're going to give love. And God wants us to experience his love. He wants us to know what it is, to feel his love, experience his love, know his love, and be changed and transformed by his love. God's love has practical features to be expressed and demonstrated. Love is not defined by the act, but by the character of God within the act. Love precludes hypocrisy and play acting. Love is unselfish, not based on self, need, or want. Love is not conditional on repayment. Love doesn't care who gets the credit. Love is active, not merely passive or theoretical. Love doesn't loiter. Love precludes resentment, covetousness, and judging one another. Love believes, trusts, and expects God to overcome all things. Love is directed toward people, not things, ideas, doctrines, or principles. The love of a neighbor desires them to have everything that we have and more. And that's hard, isn't it? Think about it. Do you want your neighbor to have more than you've got? Love seeks to commend, not condemn. Love is not conditional on the lovability or the action of the recipient. Love builds others up, nurtures, edifies. It's constructive, not destructive. Love seeks the highest good of the other with no thought of benefit to oneself. Love involves self-denial, self-renunciation, personal sacrifice, and humility. Love is willing to suffer slights, hurts, and rejection. Love is the antidote to fear and paranoia. And you see all that in what Jesus did on the cross. You see the love fully expressed in a person. Love does not preclude confrontation, opposition, and discipline. Sometimes love is tough. It's not always soft and squishy. Sometimes there needs to be tough love. Love is not retaliatory. It turns the other cheek. Love prompts one to take the initiative to be the first to act. Matthew 7:12. Love does not demand its personal rights. Love excludes suspicion and mistrust. Love is the fullest expression of God himself. And he wants us to experience him. Therefore, to experience first love. God's love for us contains all those words and concepts. He wants us to experience him, who is love. He has parental love, like a mother and a father for us. He wants us to experience deep brotherly love, friendships with him. His and our emotions and feelings should also be involved, because we should experience it and know it and feel it, because God is love. Love is not weak, wishy-washy emotion. Love is a powerful, motivational force for good. Love is the very foundation and heart of the kingdom of God. Love is a practical expression of who God is. Love motivates whatever God does, as it's the very essence of who he is. Everything God does must come from love. Even though sometimes it doesn't feel like that, God always acts out of love. Love is to be experienced at all levels of who we are as an individual. Love is the vibrational frequency of God and is to be resonated with. More of that next week. Love is the highest frequency of vibration we can experience in our lives. God so loved you. Personalize it. God so loved me, you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's love was strong and powerful enough to overcome death, the death on the cross that Jesus suffered through its resurrection power. His love is so strong and powerful, it is enough to bring us from death to life, to transform every area of our life. If it can bring someone back from death, it can change who we are and transform us. Song of Solomon 8:6. We sing this in one of our songs. Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. Not even death overcame love in Jesus and God. That's how strong love is. Love is the strongest and motivating force. It's a quote by Martin Luther King. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Our first love gate needs daily opening. If we're going to experience God, we need to have him come into our life, into our spirit, into our soul, and actually engage us so we can experience it. Therefore, we need to open that first love gate so we can experience first love, God's first love, but also our first love. How do we express our love to God? What is our daily experience of first love? Ask yourself, how much love do I experience every day from God? How much love do I express to God every day? How does he express his first love for us? How? How do we know that we're loved? Because God wants us to know it. If we don't know it, then there are blockages. He wants us to experience what he expresses to us. Often he does that through what he has done and continues to do for us. He expresses his love to us in his ongoing relationship with us, where he forgives us, he restores us, he makes us whole, he heals us, he blesses us, he empowers us, he equips us. All demonstrations of the fact that we didn't deserve any of those things. And yet love gives us those things freely. How does he express his love to us? Because there's a difference between expressing his love for us and to us. What happens when we're in intimacy? Often he wants us to hear what he says. Words of love. Words of affirmation. Words of encouragement. Words of acceptance. Words of blessing. Where he speaks the truth to us so we can receive those words into our spirit and into our heart. And those words become the foundation of what we live. and how we live. How do we express our love for Him? Well, we'll probably look at that next week. But God wants us to do those things that He's prepared for us to do. How do we express our love to Him? How do we tell Him that we love Him? Often we sing, you know, we worship. We express ourselves, and we find it easier maybe to express ourselves in that emotional setting of a song than we do necessarily when we talk to somebody or talk to Him. But how do we receive and experience His love? Because it's really important, because it's the basis of intimacy in our relationship. Song of Solomon 1:2. May He kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for your love is better than wine. Song of Solomon 2:4. He has brought me to His banqueting hall, and His banner over me is love. Now, there are songs that we have sung that have those words in them. True first love is the primary and most important relationship encounter we can experience and have. It is available to us daily through the opening of a door and the giving of an invitation. Love is our deepest need, built into us by God to draw us to Him who can only fulfill it. Nothing else and no one else can fulfill the need we have for love. Even though we may try in many other ways, love has the potential for our greatest blessing, but also our deepest sorrow and pain. God's first love is like nothing we have truly experienced in human relationships. It is so much more. In fact, human first love probably caused us rejection, emotional damage, pain, created our insecurities, fears, and our trust issues. Which is why, when we meet true love, He can heal and restore all those issues in our lives. Will you take the risk and open yourself up to Him again? Will you abandon yourself to Him? Will you embrace the lover of your soul and be joined to Him? I'm going to share some lyrics from some of the songs that we sing. And I want to encourage you, when we sing them, and when you want to express your love to God, I'm not going to sing them, by the way. Actually, do you really mean, and have you really experienced what you sing? Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? Just a simple, poetic phrase, but think about it. The God who created the whole universe, and who holds it all together by the power of His voice, would die for me. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be? Behold, you have come over the hills, upon the mountain. To me you will run, my beloved, you've captured my heart. Won't you dance with me, O lover of my soul, to the song of all songs? That is the greatest love song. That's the song which we're referring to, the song of His love. Romance me, O lover of my soul, to the song of all songs. We sing that, but do we experience it? I mean everything to you. You wrap yourself around me, you hold me together in your hand. When I'm feeling that I'm falling apart and I'm everywhere, you hold me now. Because I mean everything to you. I mean everything to you. And you mean everything to me. Daddy God, you mean everything to me. I bear my soul completely before you. Oh yes, I'm yours. Because you mean everything to me, everything in this whole world. So we sing these songs, do we mean them? I really love you, I love you right now. Pour yourself out for our Savior, our friend. We really love you right now. And this is all about you, and we love you right now. This is a love song with every fiber of my being I compose. because I love, really love you, my strength and my shield. What does love look like? It is the question I've been pondering. What does love look like? It's the question I've been asking of you. Then I saw you there, hanging on a tree, looking at me. I could not escape your beautiful eyes. You had arms wide open, a heart exposed. Arms wide open, you were bleeding, bleeding for me. Love's definition was looking at me. This is how I know what love is. This is how I know what love is. If anybody's been looking for love in all the wrong places, if you've been searching for love, come to me. Come to me. Love's definition was looking at me. This is how I know what love is. The love song of eternal, everlasting love. That's what we're talking about. He sung it to you from before the foundation of the world. Embrace him. Embrace him where the beginning and the end meet, the point where you connect with God, in the midst of covenant love, infinite, unending love, where what was meets what is to reveal and release and birth what will be in your life, the place of love in covenant. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. That is the first love gate. That's the door that we're talking about in our spirit. Will we open it? He's knocking. He wants greater intimacy. Will we open that door? Will we give God this invitation to fill us and flow through us today? 1 Corinthians 6:17 is a description of what happens when we do. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Let's become joined, entwined in oneness, spiritual union. This is mostly a spirit-to-spirit communication, but it can engage all of our senses and our soul and our body. Emotions, imagination, reason, feeling. Romans 5:5. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Let's experience that love. Let's allow that love to be poured into our hearts today. It's an old song that we used to sing many years ago. I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done. My loving Savior, my precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you've called me your own. There's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love. In your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of love. Let's experience that. We're going to just practice that. Encourage you, if you struggle to engage in these things, there are some pictures here. There's Jesus knocking on the door. It's a picture within your spirit of the door that he's knocking. Think of a door. If you struggle, think of the handle that's on the door that you can open by choice. It's just a simple choice to open up the door in your spirit and allow love to fill you. So I'd encourage you just to close your eyes. Just begin to think of that door. Think that Jesus is behind that door within your spirit. He desires relationship, love. Just picture that handle on the door. And by faith, just reach out and turn the handle, opening the door and welcome in his presence. You may feel his love as warmth, as peace, as fire in your heart, the glory of his presence as light enveloping you, surrounding you, cocooning you, protecting you. Just sense him coming around you right now. Just receive love in a person within you. Just feel the security and the power and the strength of his loving arms, his arms of love around you right now. Just feel his unconditional love for you. The fire of his love just burning in your heart. Just feel his love embrace you. Hold you safe and secure in those arms of love. Just allow your heart to melt. Just feel the melting of your heart as his love embraces you. Just begin to express your love to him. Maybe you want to yield and surrender. Open your heart up to him. Embrace him. Maybe you've never done that before. Just give him your life as he's given you his life. So just let him touch your deepest need to be loved, to be valued, to be appreciated, to be needed, to be wanted. Just let him meet those deepest needs in you. Let him heal your deepest hurts. If you've been hurt by love, abandoned, betrayed, let down, disappointed, just let his perfect love heal those wounds as he speaks words to you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Let him remove those deepest fears. The fears that no one else knows. Let perfect love cast out fear. Just let him fill you with the love of his presence. Just let him accept you when the world may have rejected you. Let him affirm you. Let him reveal how special you are to him. Express your love to him. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how much you love him. Just let his love surround you, fill you, restore you. Let it touch you emotionally. Let it touch you mentally. Let it touch you physically. Just feel first love, the love that was willing to hang on a cross, spread his arms wide open so he could receive you to himself. Just see those eyes of love looking at you, calling you. Thank you. God's love is eternal, everlasting. And if you place yourselves in his arms of love, nothing can separate you from that love. No one and nothing can separate you from the love of God. That love that paid the greatest cost, that made you the highest priority. Just receive it with all that you are. Receive that love. Let that love change you and transform you, heal and restore you and make you whole, so that you can express that love to the world around you, that you can be the love of God to your family, your friends, this community, that you will be a channel of God's love, because you know it, you've experienced it, and you can let it flow from your life. Just let the love of God fill you to overflow. This not just be a one-off experience, I'd encourage you to daily open up that first love gate, invite love to flood into your spirit, to fill your heart to overflowing. Choose to love him by yielding your life and surrendering it to him. Choose to love him with your first love, as he loves you with his first love.